I certainly have enjoyed the preaching today. It's been very richly blessed of God. I've been blessed of God richly to be able to hear it and receive it and rejoice in it. It's certainly good to be here. It's good to see each one of you all and to have this wonderful fellowship that's already been mentioned. I like what Brother Joe said as he closed, that this fellowship that we have, it's of God. You know, I meet many in life's travels that I believe are children of God, and I believe heaven will be their home. But there's very little that you find that you have in fellowship. Because if we walk in the light, as the Lord is in the light, then we have fellowship one with the other. It's, you know, that fellowship that we have is produced in walking in the truths of God's Word and sharing that light, precious faith that, as the brother said, that we have common one with the other. I feel like that I could leave right now and be happy and content. I was sitting there thinking that when I was a lot younger and trying to start out preaching, you know, I felt like that, you know, I wanted to make an effort, you know, be called on about everywhere I went. And I still like to preach if the Lord blesses, but I tell you, I can be content right now just to rejoice in what we've heard. But being this falls my lot, I beg an interest in your prayers. I looked over Leslie and said, "I'm scared to death," and she took me by the hand, and that was comforting. But I need a power greater than her to take me by the hand now and bless the gospel that it might be preached. My mind has gone to so many different things, and it's kind of like Brother Jamie that said that, or one of the brethren did, that I, you know, can't preach what's on your mind or what you want to hear, but I got to go what seems like it's on mine. And Brother Jamie mentioned in preaching today, and I guess if all of us preachers are honest, there's times that these blessed truths fill our hearts to the point that even if we're right by ourselves, we'll find ourselves preaching. I tell the congregation at home a lot of times that part of the time I've worked for some people about 35 miles from home, and so there's a lot of times making that 35-mile drive there and back through the country, it takes about 50 minutes. And occasionally there'll be a scripture on my mind and I'll preach a good portion of the way. And in that situation, I feel like it's just me and the Lord. And then Sunday will come on Saturday meeting and I'll try to take the same text and it don't go along quite as well, and I'll tell everybody, "I wish y'all was in the truck with me the other day. It was a lot better." So I'm glad I'm not by myself. But a couple of weeks, well, it could have been longer than that, maybe 3 weeks ago now, I was making that trip back and forth to work, and on the way that morning, the question entered my mind, or I asked myself, or the Lord asked me one, "What is the greatest, what comforts you the most? What is there the most joy and peace and contentment in knowing in this life. And I began to think about the sovereignty of God. And I rejoiced in that all the way to work and all the way back home that afternoon, thinking about the sovereignty of God. You know, that lies all of our hope, is that God is sovereign. You know, I ride along the road sometime, and I always read these little marquee signs out in front of these different meeting houses, and I get amazed sometimes that, you know, that there are certain areas that people will admit to God's sovereignty. You know, I saw one the other day that said, you know, the Lord had a purpose for you before you were born. You know, that's okay. That's okay. But as I begin to think about that purpose for all of God's people is the same. It's to glorify God. I believe that's what God calls us for in this life. That's the reason that we're born of His Spirit in this world. And I believe that that's exactly what we'll be doing in eternal glory, that we'll be praising Him.
Amen.
You know, one of the brethren already quoted today from Ephesians chapter 1, I think, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And then it goes on in that same chapter, and it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's the purpose that we're here for today. That's the purpose, I believe, that God sovereignly chose a people before the foundation of the world. And that's what He predestinated us to be in that capacity, that we'll glorify Him in perfection. Amen. In all eternity.
Amen.
Now, as I think about the sovereignty of God, you know, these wonderful blessings, these wonderful truths that we've heard about today, the wonderful truths that we read about in the Scriptures, the wonderful truths that we hear preached time and time again. As I told Brother Jamie at lunchtime, I said, you know, once in a while that we're brought to the realization that these truths that we are, that we ought to be most thankful for, that God has allowed us to see them and enjoy them and understand a portion of them, because, you know, when tragedy and trouble come here in this life, that, you know, that is the very comfort. That's the only place that there can be any comfort.
Amen.
Is in that God is sovereign.
Amen.
You know, I was telling Brother Jamie that just back some few weeks back, earlier in the summer, there was a customer of mine. I may have shared this little story at the Catoctin, and I don't remember now, but there was a customer of mine that brought me some peas to shell, and he'd had a heart attack, and he was telling me about his symptoms and things he went through that day, and I shared with him mine, and when I, about five, six years ago, had the same problem, and I was telling him about on the way to the hospital that, you know, well, I didn't say that to him, but I could tell as I talked to him, the difference in my experience and his was that he was terrified of dying. And, you know, and he's on a real strict diet, and, you know, I tell people all the time, I said, you know, I like sausage and bacon. I don't eat ham. I appreciate the ham that was out there this morning. I made me a double ham and biscuit, and, you know, my cardiologist might not like that. But, you know, I've cut back and I try to eat things in moderation, but, you know, that's something I enjoy in life. And I tell people, and I told that same gentleman that day, I said, you know, I'm going to enjoy some of the things like that. I said, if it cuts my life short 10 or so years and I go home to be with the Lord, it'll be okay. But see, right there when I was talking about fellowship, we broke fellowship right there. Because I could tell he didn't want to leave no time soon. He didn't want anything to be cut short. He wanted to just live here as long as he could. And I don't want to go anywhere either. you know, just to, I want to live too, to enjoy these meetings like this and the blessings of God that He's provided for us here in this life. But you know, if something comes and trouble comes and sickness comes and disease comes, it's okay. Because, you know, there, and as I shared with him and others, that, you know, on the way to the hospital that day, that, you know, I didn't know where I was going to live or not. I felt like the closer I got to the hospital, the near death I was coming to. But as I told Brother Jamie, I said, that whole experience, there was not a fear of death. I didn't fear leaving this world in death. I didn't fear death. And there was a great calmness and a peace about that. And you know, as I've thought about that many times since then, that, you know, the reason that there was no, the reason there was calmness and peace is because of the understanding of the sovereignty of God and what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us as His people.
Amen.
And I want to, I have a real bad faith problem in that when I've been called, my name's called out to preach, there's a lot of times I miss some things my brethren are preaching so sweetly in front of me because I'm worried to death about what I'm going to say and where I'm going to go. It's I miss some of the things that these brethren were preaching because I was looking something for myself. And right there about the time Brother Joe was finishing up, my thoughts went to a portion of Scripture that's found in the Philippian letter. And I've read about 15 different texts while these brethren were preaching, and I'm not going to try to get all of them this afternoon. But anyway, right here in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, there's some scripture here that I want to read in your hearing. And as he's been expressed here today, the truth and the preaching of the gospel. And these wonderful truths, they're a great blessing for us. And, you know, even back there in the Psalms, I believe it's Psalms where he talks about the, that thought just almost left me there, but blessed are they that know the joyful sound. You know, there's a joyful sound that God's people have enjoyed in the church for these many years that the church has been here and that we've been blessed to be a part of. And as I think about these wonderful truths and how that the Scriptures teach us that we shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. I'll tell you, there's some freedom that we come in knowing the truth. It's not just only the understanding that we've been delivered from the bondage of the law and to the very grace of God and the understanding thereof. But I want to tell you something that to understand is one of the brethren this morning, I forget which one it was, but he was there in the book of 1 Peter and got right there through the fourth verse and said, go and go to the 17th. That might have been Brother Jamie. I said, please don't skip verse 5. But it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'll tell you, my beloved, there is a comforting scripture that it will comfort us in the midst of the trouble and the trials and the tribulations here in this life. Because, and you know, the reason that it's a comfort to us is because we know about these wonderful truths that is laid down for us in the Word of God. But here Paul, writing in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, he said, that I may know Him. Now, I'll tell you, that's important right there, that I may know Him. You remember what Jesus said to those there in the, is it the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, where He said that ye believe in God, but He said, but believe also in Me. I'll tell you, my friends, as it's already been proclaimed today, that the Gospel, my friends, is the message of the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I was trying to preach recently, that I find that there's many times when I go to funerals and I hear brethren of different orders trying to preach, and they'll talk about accepting Jesus. You know, I don't have a problem with that phrase if you'll put it in the right context. But I'm going to tell you, I believe they get confused the difference in regeneration and conversion. I want to tell you, beloved, the gospel, my friends, don't give life, but it gives light. It sheds light unto God's children that they might see the proper path to walk in the truths of God's Word. You know, I was reading as I studied that subject of conversion. I want to tell you, my friends, I understand that this book is a book that's written to the children of God. And you can read the very epistles that the apostles wrote to the churches. And there's some very poignant things to the members of the church that they're not to be a part of in this world. And if they are, the preaching of the gospel is calling upon them to repent and be converted. I'll tell you, repentance and conversion from the preached word is not to the dead alien sinner, but it's to the child of God that's born of God's Spirit. And I want to tell you, my friends, that's something that we ought to do every day of our lives, is read something out of this book and be convicted by what it says, and be converted and repent. Repentance is a change of mind, but I'll tell you, conversion is a change of walk. And I want to tell you, my beloved, that when we understand, and the more that we know about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, therein is where our comfort comes from, and it sets us free from the bondage and the troubles and the trials and even the old snares, if you will, that somebody's already mentioned here today, that Satan sets in our pathway while we sojourn here in this world. You know, I don't know what the world meant. My wife talked about this right prior to coming to the Catoctin Association, right prior to coming here for this meeting this weekend. It seems like that Satan tried his level best to keep us from these two meetings.
Yes.
And I've thought about that much since I've been here. And as these brethren have preached here this morning and throughout the day, and I've been a part of this meeting, I want to tell you something. I don't know exactly, about 35 years now I've been in the church. And I want to tell you something. It means more to me today than it ever has in all of my life. I tell you, it's more beautiful to me today than it's ever been in all of my life. I can see my Lord and Savior better today than I have in all of my life. And I want to tell you, the more light you got, the more you're enjoying it, no wonder devil wants to set more traps in your pathway to keep you from. Because the more you know about your Lord and Savior, the more happy you'll be here in this world. And I tell you, that truth of that is, and that's what I mentioned to Brother Jamie, that see, the things that we don't recognize until tragedy comes in your life, that truth is so entwined in your very subconscious that is there comforting you even when you don't even realize. And when trouble comes, you realize that you're okay. Why? Because of God's sovereign grace.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus has done for you. And you know, Jesus has done He's done the same for all of His people. You know, sometimes people get the idea that God had a different way of salvation for the Old Testament than the New. No, we're all born of the Spirit of God the same way. Jesus shed His blood for all of us at the same time.
Yeah.
And even those Old Testament saints versus New Testament saints, when we die, our soul and spirit goes to God that gave it, and there's nothing that can hinder that. And all this is because of the finished sovereign work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, the point I wanted to make is that of all of God's children have the same blessing as far as what's been done for them, but they don't all get the joy of it and the contentment of it while they live in this life. And see, that comes by us knowing Him. And that's what Paul said here, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death.
Right.
The power of His resurrection. Yeah. I wonder why He puts it that way. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, I want to tell you, He conquered death. He delivered us from every form of the power of death itself. You know, I could say death, you know, sin and hell and the grave and all that, but it's all contained in that death, because, you know, we were not only we were dead in trespasses and in sin. Death was a very ugly monster, and it had us all in its grips, and there was no way out as far as us in human strength is concerned. But I'll tell you, Jesus come that he might deliver us from death in every form of the word. Not only delivered us from being dead in trespasses and in sin, but he delivered us from even this body, from corporal death, and he delivered us from that everlasting state of the second death, if you will, in the lake of fire. See, we've been delivered. And as you look at this, and see, this right here is where Satan kind of sets those traps for us. And listen to what Paul said. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. But listen, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But he says, but I follow after. Now, this would kind of sound like a tongue twister here, but hear me real close. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know how I like to summarize that? Is when you realize that you go to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and those whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate, and them whom he predestinated, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. We've experienced some of those things, but we've not experienced all of them yet. But they're all written in the past tense. Why? Because their good is done and their good is finished. And when Jesus rose out of the grave, it was all finished. Everything the Father sent him to do for the deliverance of his children from death itself. And I'll tell you, my friends, the only problem, you know, this world is full of trouble and problems, and a lot of times we are confronted with things that seem like problems that really ought not be problems. Or worries us that really ought not worry and bother us. The other day at the graveside funeral of a first cousin of mine that just fell dead quickly, or just found him at his desk. He was just 50, about 87 years old. And I had the graveside there of the funeral, and one of the brothers mentioned about how hot it was. And I told him, I said, I've got a lot to say. I could talk to you all afternoon, but I'm not going to do it because it's so hot. But the thing about, as I stood there, that was the week that I'm thinking about the sovereignty of God. And as I talked to that gathering there at that graveside, you know, I said that death itself, you know, it seems to be such an ugly enemy. It seems to be so final. It seems to be just, you know, as I said, so final. But I said, you know, the Lord himself, he rose out of the grave. And he conquered death. And you know, something else that, what I was talking about, that, you know, sometimes there's things that seem to be problems that are really not problems when you measure it to the victory that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of my favorite verses of scripture there in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans is that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I want to, this other verse keeps bothering me, so I'm going to get it and try to quote it for you. You know, Jesus, he talked about, you know, having peace, and I can never get the first part of that quote, and I won't turn to it. But he talked about peace in the Lord. But Jesus said, in this life ye shall have tribulation. The word tribulation, that means trouble. As I heard an old brother say one time, He says, if you know, trouble's the things that life's made out of, and if you don't have any right now, just, you know, just brace yourself because it's coming. You know, that's true. But, you know, when you hear the comforts that many people lean toward to try to find comfort out here in this world, but Jesus said, in this life ye shall have trouble. But then notice what he said. He'll tell you something that Satan won't tell you. He'll tell you something the world won't tell you. He said, but be of good cheer. You mean I can be of good cheer in the midst of a troublesome world? Yes. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world.
Amen. Amen.
And all the problems that his children might face in it, I've overcome. But you know, and see the comforting part of the comforting part that we have, that's part of laying hold, Brother Joe, on eternal life. You know, making your calling and election sure. You know, some people just love to rub some of those verses and say, what you going to do with them? Yeah. See, that making your calling and election sure, that's not making it sure to God. That's making it sure to you, personally, in your everyday life. I'll tell you, if every moment of every day that if my calling and election was sure to me, Satan couldn't have much trouble me, would he? He wouldn't have much, he wouldn't gain much ground if I could lay hold of that every day, Brother Joe. But we do when we remember who we are in the Lord. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, and when you look at the, see, that's what we need. We need to look at the whole scheme of things. That same trip that I was enjoying my preaching to working back that day. You know, a very familiar scripture come to my mind that we all can quote it in Matthew 1 and 21. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall. He didn't say he might. Didn't say he did if you would help him a little. But he says that he shall save his people from their sins. You know, next time the devil shoots one of those arrows at you, just like he tried. And I'll be honest with you. Yesterday morning, I did not think that we would come. I mean, we were just so cast down and downhearted and just seemed like that, you know, couldn't. I mean, it seemed like the even joy of coming was all just gone. But as we laid down last night, I said to Leslie, I said, I'm sure glad we're here. It seemed like a different world, a different place, a different. And you know, I want to tell you, the older I get and the more precious the church becomes to me, the more I realize that the devil tries harder and harder and harder to rob you from the joy that's yours to have in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some other places that I wanted to go, but I want to close with this, and I don't know where. I hope it'll have a lodging place. But it's like Brother Ralph was talking about many times. Brother Ralph, I had the same problems you do. When I read the scripture, sometimes I just skip over little phrases and verses that really just all run together, and it don't have a lodging place, or it don't just speak to me at the time. But as I was studying the other week about the sovereignty of God, I went to the account of Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. And by the way, one of the other ones that I love that I was going to quote today is in Malachi. That I like when I say I'm going to quote something and then it leaves me. But I am the Lord. I change not. You know, what does that speak to you? If I change not, that's the sovereignty of God, isn't it? But he says, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Not consumed by what? Your enemy, your problems. And by the way, I don't know whether who was that talking about the brother's funeral singing joy to the world? You know, sometimes I shouldn't let, seasons, keep me from certain scriptures. But, there's times through the years that I hadn't gone and read the first, second chapter of the book of Luke to right there before Christmas. But I tell you, when you get in there and you find those two or three verses there in the book of Luke that the Lord, that he's coming, it was prophesied that he was coming to deliver us from all of our enemies.
Amen.
Did he do it?
He did.
Did he do it? He done it. He delivered us from all of our enemies.
Praise God.
And listen to what Nebuchadnezzar, in the 35th verse of the 4th chapter of Daniel, this is after that is, he'd been out there with the feathers and the claws and eating grass for the oxen. And Brother Ralph, the Lord don't try to do anything. he just does it. He didn't try to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention. He did. And he says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Isn't it amazing that people say that the old Baptists can't preach election except in the 8th chapter of Romans? But listen, right here it is. Not only, he does his will in the army of heaven. Why? Because there's perfect praise there. But he also says, and among. Wonder why he didn't say in the inhabitants of the earth. Because salvation is not universal. But he says he does his will among the inhabitants of the earth. There's election. And this is what I stressed on so much the other day. Children of God, the reason that you can find great peace in the midst of trouble, the reason you can just wait so patiently upon your Lord and Savior, the reason that you can reach down deep and just grasp hold that it just seems like that your little ship is being tossed to and fro in this earth, but be still and know that I am God. And not only that, but in the midst of that, just have the patience to wait upon the Lord, because ultimately all your enemies have been conquered. And there's nothing that's going to separate you from his love. But he says right here, and none can stay his hand. the reason that we can be of good cheer, because the world can't stay the Lord's hand. Sin cannot stay the Lord's hand. Death cannot stay the Lord's hand. The grave cannot stay the Lord's hand. But none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's the sovereignty of the God that chose you before the foundation of the world. That's the sovereignty of the God that holds you in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
And has carried you, names graven there all the days of old. That's the sovereignty of of God the Son that came to take upon himself a body of flesh. That he himself was made like and unto you, except without sin, and went there to the cross of Calvary and satisfied God in your stead to deliver you from all of your enemies. And that same sovereign God is coming back. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. You know, sometimes I thought just not long ago that I don't remind God's children enough about that.
Yeah.
I tell you, they used to be some of the old brethren that really never sat down. And every time it bring tears to my eyes that they would go there to the first chapter of the book of Acts, and then they would close with that time and time again, that those two men, angels that stood there in white apparel and said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus that you see going away, in like manner, he's coming again." I'll tell you, that comforts me every time I hear it. I want to be reminded of that. The Lord's not left us here in this world of trouble, but he's coming again.
Yeah.
And he's going to take us home to be with him. May God bless you and keep you, as I pray.